Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Hello and welcome to a special noon edition of The Conversation, the Myopathy Talk. I want to thank you all so much for tuning in. As you know, I normally do a conversation on Thursday nights, and I thought I would do this. I talk a lot about, I deal with a myopathy. I run a support group that has 398 people in it, and so I thought I would do this and talk about how I got diagnosed, how I deal with it, how I cope, and how other people deal with it and different things, and go through all the fun testing you have to go through and all the stuff I've had to go through and everything. So since I'm going out tonight for my birthday and doing stuff, and I thought, what a way to, you know, it's been a while since I've done a myopathy version, and now I've got better audio and stuff, so I thought I would do it. And it, you know, some of it, if you heard my myopathy 1, 2, or 3, then you've heard some of this. But if you haven't, welcome. To anyone that's listening from the support group, welcome. Okay. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Chronicles 16:11. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. Think about those just kind of going through your day to day, kind of strength scriptures that, you know. But if many of you don't know what a myopathy is, so I can kind of get into generalization terms. Myopathies are a systematic disease resulting from several different disease processes, including inflammatory, they have endocrine, they have infectious, they have disease, they have toxic induced, they have chronic illness, they have metabolic type, which I have, and there's neuromyopathies, there's neuropic myopathies, they're all different types, and it's basically where your muscles do not work properly, whether it's, you know, it's basically defined as a disease of the muscles in which the muscle fibers do not function properly. This is a result in muscular weakness and deterioration of the muscles and what have you. And what I have, a metabolic type myopathy, and basically I'm going to go through for a portion of this is how I was diagnosed, how I found out what I did and what I do, and kind of like how I started the support group and how I've tried to get help and maybe be help to others. But I live about 60 miles away from the World Center of Racing, Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and it's hard to believe I'm going to be 43 tomorrow. But I basically was always in pain, always. You know, my mom, I would cry till my mom would rub my legs till I fell asleep. I was crying in so much pain. My muscles would be hurting. If you've ever lifted weights, if anyone out there maybe don't have a myopathy, they've lifted weights and they wake up and they're, my pecs and my legs, my calves, my all my muscles are so sore and I'm in so much pain. Wow. What a workout. I would feel that way for no reason. And didn't know what was going on, and went to my regular doctor, and not much to worry about, and just kept going on. And my mom's like, I'm going to have him look at, and went to the, after a while,
how old were you then?
I was probably about 7 years old, and I went to the Yeah, if you hear her in the background, you may not pick her up on the mic, but this is my wife. She produces my weekly conversation. I was about 7 years old, and I went to the Indianapolis Children's Hospital, you know, Riley Children's Hospital, they call it. And I went there and did a bunch of testing where they take needles and they like poke your feet and all this stuff. And, yeah, I can feel that a little bit, but they went through all these tests and they said, yeah, you don't have 100% usage of your muscles, but it's nothing. It's not really concerning right now. And they just kind of let it go. And I want to backtrack just a little bit because I come from a family where like my dad gets up at 6 a.m. when his alarm goes off. He's out of bed, in the shower, out, he's dressed, and he's off to work. He may have a hard-boiled egg, and then he's off to work, and he works till 10 o'clock at night, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, done that his whole life. He needs to be on that show that they had Stan Lee Superhumans, because my dad is an inspiration, okay? Give him a plot of land, and he could pour a foundation. He could build a house from the ground up, doing all the electrical, all the carpentry, everything. The plumbing, the electrical, the roofing, he could do it all. That man is my inspiration. And when he goes 100 miles an hour and does what he does, and I do a quarter of what he does, and I'm exhausted, and I'm tired, and I'm fatigued, and, you know, something's not right. And I just kind of went through a period where it wasn't, where it kind of got a little bit better and wasn't super bad. And when I turned about and stuff, I saw Julia Child as a kid. I'm like, I was obsessed with cooking, and I'm like, I'm going to go to culinary school. And, you know, knowing what I know now, I probably would have chosen a different career path, and I'm still even debating what I'm going to do. But I've been basically cooking most of my life, and being on your feet, I wake up exhausted and I come home and I'm in so much pain. It's the quality of life is no. Because, yeah, I love what I do, but I'm in so much pain and hurting. And I basically, in about 1999, I was in Indianapolis working at a restaurant. And when I left that place, I got an opportunity to open up a barbecue smokehouse. And a little funny story about that is it was called Porky's. And, of course, a lot of people went to the Porky's website, and I guess there's a lot of Porky's websites based off of the movie and has nudity and stuff, and they thought they were offended by our website. And I'm like, what are you talking about, website? We don't have a website. Yeah, you do. I went to Porky's.com. Well, man, there was a movie called Porky's where these kids tried to sneak over to this other county and go into this strip club called Porky's, you know. And I left there, and I went to Maze and American Girl where I worked for a while. And when I was there, by the end of the day, I was in so much pain and so tired and so fatigued, but I was working 10 hours a day. I thought I was... Everyone dealt with that. I thought when I'd worked a 10-hour day or a 12-hour day or 13-hour day, I thought everyone was in excruciating pain. Everyone was beyond exhausted, beyond tired. And I finally got insurance, and I went to a neurologist and this, and he looked at me, and he goes, well, my assessment of you, sir, is drinking beer, sitting on a couch. You should show me more strength than you show me. There's something wrong. We got to figure out what's wrong. And I went to go have x-rays, like MRIs done in my back, because they thought maybe my nerves were twisted in my back or whatever and it's causing issues. And I lost the insurance and just kind of would take pound Tylenol and kind of ledge through it. And when I was done with that, I basically took a job where I'm at now so I can have insurance. And my mom's like, why don't you get this muscle thing looked at or whatever and see what's going on? It ain't going to be anything, but just look at it, you know. And so I went to my doctor, said, I want to get this looked at. Yeah, and I went and saw a neurologist, and he's like, well, they thought I had fibromyalgia. And one of my friends goes, she did pressure points on me, and she goes, you'd be screaming. You'd be punching me right now. You don't have fibromyalgia. I can tell you that right now. That's not even the issue. And they did an x-ray of my back and everything came back normal. They did one on my brain, and they said, well, this thing here could be a little bit bigger. It's bigger, but it wouldn't make a difference. So, okay. So from there, he goes, you want to go to IU Med Center? You want to go to see this rheumatologist? And I thought, you know, going to the IU Hospital Med Center in Indianapolis, I thought that would be bang. So I'm like, let me go see this guy first and see what he can tell me. And I went to this rheumatologist who was Polish, and I have some Polish in my background, and was talking to him, and he's like, well, let's do some x-ray. Your legs bother you. Let's check your legs out. And I had a crack in my leg, and I had nuclear x-rays and stuff, and the crack in the leg is called fibrosis. It's like a quarter of an inch, and they said, you know, that could cause the pain in one leg, but not the other, and stuff. So, okay, what do we do? And from there, we went, and we said, okay, I want to see this in 3 months, and let's get it x-rayed again. After the x-ray and nuclear x-ray, let's make sure it hasn't grown, because if it's grown, then that could be the issue. And after 3 months, I'm going to get my x-rays taken, and I'm getting ready to go sit down on the table, and a lady comes up to me. She gives me the biggest hug. She goes, Kyle, how are you doing? And I'm like, great. And I'm like, Cindy, good? How have you been? And it was one of my best friends who died in high school, who died like coming home from Thanksgiving. This is after high school, but she was a good friend in high school, but she died later. Coming home from Thanksgiving, she was in a car, and because she was wearing her seatbelt, it suspended her half in and half out of the car, and she was crushed 6 times and taken to a hospital, and they couldn't revive her and took her to Methodist, and they couldn't, and they called it. And she was there, and she goes, well, just hope, expect the worst, but hope for the best. And I'm like, well, okay, what are you talking about? And she goes, well, expect the worst, hope for the best. And I'm like, okay, what do you mean? She goes, well, Dr. Lee, Dr. O, Dr. Du, and I forget who the Polish doctor was. They talked with Laylock and Blackwood and all these, and they said, there's something majorly wrong with you. They don't know what it is. They know you have something wrong. There's something major going on. We can't figure out what it is. This x-ray is just going to see if that fibrosis has grown at all, which we don't think it has. So, okay. And it hadn't grown, and that wasn't it. So they sent me up to go see John Kincaid at IU Med Center. And I'm like, okay, cool. And I'm like, okay, I need to make sure I have time off of this. And he's like a 6 month out. I didn't realize that, or else I would have scheduled the appointment, and then I could have canceled it if the rheumatologist could have figured something out. And the whole time I'm going through this, you know, I have family that goes and does, that goes 100 miles an hour, and, oh, you just need to work more. You just need to get off your feet. You're just lazy. You don't exercise enough. You don't do enough. And when I put – and I got a Nike pedometer. And I put that thing on, and I'm like, okay, I'm going 5 to 7.5 miles a day on that thing. That's not the reason why I'm in excruciating pain every day and waking up in pain and, you know, living in pain. Why I'm so fatigued, why I'm so tired, why I'm so exhausted. That's not the reason, you know. And I think it has to do with your kids are perfect. You don't want anything bad to have happened to them, or you don't want to think anything negative, you know. you want to think of them as perfect. And I think that's how my parents were. And from there, I finally got in to see John Kincaid. Of course, my mom went, it's like a 2-hour appointment, and he's going through all my stuff and this, and he's like a leading muscular dystrophy specialist. And I had the test where they put the needles in you and then they do the electrodes to see if you stimulate the muscles. My leg came back pretty much negative and this and that. So my mom's like, well, you know, we go to the 500 every year. And he goes, well, that's great because I go to the Brickyard, the 500, and I go to all those races every year. Formula One, I've been going to those for the longest time. And she goes, well, we go from this Denny's and we walk down to the track. And he goes, well, that I do that exact same thing. You probably park next to me, not even realizing it because you weren't my doctor. And I wasn't, you know, I wasn't your doctor. You weren't my patient at the time. But he goes, so that makes a lot of sense. He goes, well, about halfway down the track, I can see he's having issues and doing all this stuff. And after like halfway through the thing, she goes, and she was telling him about different things, about what's going on. She goes, maybe he just needs to get up and exercise and do more and just get out. And he goes, well, first of all, he's a chef, so he's on his feet all day. That would not be an issue. He's getting more movement and exercise than 90% of Americans who sit at a desk. Just from what you told me, he should be able to go from this, what was it, Bob Evans at the time, down to the track and back like 4 times and not even bat an eye. And the fact that he's having issues just walking down there, there's something majorly wrong. There's something really wrong. I need to investigate further and do some research. And from that, I went into a blood test, and the blood test, and I had a muscle biopsy, and the blood test came back, and I'm sitting there, I'm at a Target doing some shopping, and I get a phone call from Indy, and it's from the IU hospital. And of course, John Kincaid's on the phone because he does all his own phone calls. Like, he didn't have a nurse. He didn't have anybody do the phone call. So it's not like he has a secretary or anything like that do the phone calls. He does 100%. And he's like, well, you got 20 minutes to sit and talk about your blood test. And I'm like, okay, that's not a good sign. You have a 20, when he wants to talk to you about a blood test, you know, it's not an MRI. It's not a, well, this dot could be bigger or this dot could be smaller. No, because like, if you look at MRIs, they can have a black dot and someone will say, well, that shouldn't be there. Well, another guy can say it could be 10 times as big and it won't make a difference. So that's how it is, you know, and with a blood test is pretty definitive. And he goes, everybody has a gas station in your body. So when my wife runs, her body says, okay, I need all these enzymes and proteins and different things. Her body does that. My body doesn't do that. My body says, okay, it doesn't do all the things that it needs to do. And that's why I'm having all these issues. And he wants to do more studies. And he wanted to do an MRI. And not an MRI, but a muscle biopsy. And this is what kind of confuses me, because I've had some people tell me that, oh, they were able to, all they did was numb my skin, because they can't numb the muscle tissue because it's going to alter the testing of the muscle tissue. And I've had some people say, oh, they numbed it all for me. No, all they did was think about that trip. You went to Paris and then they cut your muscle tissue. And I don't wish that on my. Hello, welcome back, folks. I don't know what happened. I got disconnected. You got a lot of technology. But anyways, my biopsy that I had done, my blood test showed one thing, and my biopsy showed the exact opposite. My sisters and my family were like, oh, so that contradicts each other, so you don't have anything wrong with you. I said, no. The blood test showed that I had this abnormality. The biopsy, okay, then this muscle biopsy showed that I had, that was normal, but this was an abnormality. So I still had a problem. It was just, it showed this instead of that. and you know, I went through some dark times. I will tell you this. I wanted to end my life. When you have no one believing there's something. No, I thought they contradicted each other. Well, they kind of did. It's sort of like saying, okay, well, the blood test says I don't have AIDS, I have HIV. Well, what's the, you know, it's like saying, okay, the x-ray, well, no, the x-ray didn't show I have a broken leg. It shows it's fractured. So I got a 6-inch fracture down my femur. It's not broken, it's fractured. You know, you still have an issue. It may not be broken like you thought. You know, I still have a major issue. I still have a myopathy, a metabolic type. You know, it still showed I have something wrong. And the big thing is I still sometimes wonder if they, I still don't think they believe it. They get it. No, my mom, I think, kind of understands, but they don't. But that's just how the cookie crumbles sometimes. I mean, that's what I deal with. And, you know, and he's like, well, I want to see you like every year. And I see my muscle doctor every year. And I see my regular doctor in between that. And we go back and forth. And he keeps an eye on me. And he's just a great, great, great doctor. He's down, he speaks at my level. Because I don't understand this medical BS. I don't understand all this. You know, what we have here is you have, see, these are the nucleic ions. This is a nucleic ion with a 4-pod receptor. And what it's doing is it's actually connecting to, no, he doesn't do that. Your body is a gas station. Your body needs gas and all this stuff to function. Your body doesn't produce all these. Your body doesn't produce these different things. And creatinine, which is supposedly a performance enhancer, which really, my doctor debunks that because your body produces it. If you're normally producing it like your body should be, then you should have enough of it. And I tried that, and I kept trying. I kept taking it, because, oh, you would see it. You'd be, like, instantly, like, back to normal. So I might try it again just to see if maybe it might work this time. I don't know. But I tried it for, like, a month plus. And he goes, yeah, if it's been, yeah, no, you would have seen almost instant results. Like, it's not like iron, because I'm anemic, and I take iron, and it takes a while to build up the iron in your body. You know, this stuff is, like, instantaneous. You start taking it, it works immediately. Well, I thought it was, like, maybe you have to build it up in your body. I don't know. But he talks at my level and explains things, you know. And when you have no one believing you, no one really understanding you, no one, oh, no, you just need to find another doctor. Well, so when I've got to prove, I got an actual diagnosis from a muscle biopsy and blood test and stuff, I got to find someone that's going to say that that's not right. No. I've got some of that cryogenically frozen, so if they get future testing, I can have it tested. You know, I don't see Kincaid on a yearly basis because I have nothing wrong with me. I am not, what was it, like 8 years ago, I got a disability placard because I don't, no. And I was in a very, very down and out place. And I'm like, so I'm going to start a support group. I need support. Well, I can't put you in this support group because you don't really deal with this. I can't put you in that support group because you don't really deal with that. And okay, well, why can't I just do a support group that everyone can be a part of? I need help. I need support. I need support. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, okay. And I did a support group, the myopathy support group, and I'm like, what do I do? And a lady who I met, Lisa Tunier, she came on for in the very, very beginning for support because I had nobody. I'm like, I can just call her and talk anytime I wanted to. Now she might comment like once in a million years because she didn't have a myopathy, but she basically deals with so much. I mean, she's had more surgeries than probably anyone I know. I mean, that woman is looking at disability and, you know, and she is like, you know, and she understands because she worked in the home healthcare field for so long, and she understands HIPAA and all this stuff. And hey, if you tell me something, I don't tell anybody anything unless if you give me permission. That's why I'm not mentioning names or anything, cause, except for people that I know I've got permission out of respect. You know, and I'm like, so what do I do? What do I do? And it took forever and ever and ever. And I'm up to 390 some people in the support group. And when you sit there and you have two people from like Turkey, that medical care over there is not great. Well, who have you seen? Who have you talked to? And who have you gone to? And to see that people have connected. I mean, this was my support group. Me. Help me. I need help. I don't know where to go. I mean, I was diagnosed with celiac disease recently, and now I'm kind of in the same boat with that. Kind of like, well, what do I do? Because some people say, you know, I shouldn't even be working in the kitchen because you breathe in the flour, it can get into your stomach, and you can have contamination. And other people say, oh, that's horse manure and all this. And who knows what to believe, you know? And I just try to live my life and be as conscious as I can. And the support group ended up being something that I'm like, okay, let me see here. It turned out to be something that was for me. It turned out to, I have a bunch of friends on my support group, and, you know, and so many people help each other. There are people that come on there and like, you know, hey, I'm looking for answers and this and that. And like, we're just a group of people. We're not doctors. We're just a support group of people that, hey, we understand what you're going through. I know how it is to not want to get out of bed. And I'm in pain 99% of my, you know, in a month, I probably have one day where I feel great. And then, because I'm a huge motorsports fan, and I love baseball, and I love football. I'm a Manchester United fan, and when you get up in the morning to watch a race at MIS, and it's like, okay, the race is on Sunday, and I don't even want to get out of bed to get out to drive to Kendallville to where I stay at this hotel to relax, and I don't even want to get up to do that. But it's something that I have a passion for. And it's like, you know, I'm just so fatigued and so tired, and I just want to sleep. And I just want to say, like, beam me up, Scotty, to the hotel, and then beam me up to the track. And, you know, I mean, I've had my share of, I've had people like, sir, that's a disability parking spot. You have to have a placard. I'm like, and I went to this lady. I said, so when did they not allow license plates? She goes, excuse me? I said, well, I don't have a placard. I have a license plate. You said that I have to have a placard. Oh, you have a disability? Yes, I do, ma'am. And I'm not at liberty to discuss why I have it. It's none of your business. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm walked off. You know, I don't look like, if you see me, you wouldn't. Because I've had some people come up to me that don't work at my job anymore that goes, yeah, what's wrong with you? I said, what do you mean? Yeah, I can tell there's something wrong. You do your best to just go and do and kind of hide it. You know, I'm like, eh, I got some muscle issues, but, you know, okay. And that was you. That was after, like, they stopped working where I do. But when you look at the support group, it's just amazing to see how far it's come. Because, like, you know, having all these people, you know, that have, like, different myopathies and get a connect. And, you know, because when you think of a myopathy, it's lumped in with the muscular dystrophies. And when you look at, oh, it's the telethon, the one time a year that our issue is brought to the world, you know. And it's just, I just try to get more awareness out there. Because, you know, yeah, this is the one time a year that Jerry Lewis should do his telethon, but there are people with muscular dystrophies and people that have similar myopathies to that, guess what? They deal with that on a daily basis. when that telethon goes bye-bye, we still deal with it. We're still in pain all the time. We're still fatigued. We still have muscle issues. We still have spasms. You know, I'm one of those people that I will try anything. I've been on pain meds, and they help. I've been on muscle relaxers, and all I did is felt like I had to pee every 20 seconds. And, oh, no, that can't. And then when the pain management clinic, I went to, oh, no, that can't be. You can't. And John Kincaid goes, yeah, well, technically you can. Your bladder is a muscle. It relaxes it. Yes, you can. And it says that on the package. If you have like a bladder infection feeling where you feel like you could pee all the time, guess what? You should stop taking it. And I did. Oh, no, you need to, because they're trying to make it almost impossible for the legitimate person to use pain medications or any type of thing like that. Well, you have to try other things. I'm like, I have. They don't work. They tried to have me take medications that I've already tried before. I've known so many people that I've tried. I've not met one person that can handle Lyrica. I've not known anyone. Maybe my wife could handle Lyrica. I've not known anyone that can tolerate it. You haven't, then. I don't know. I wouldn't even know whether I would want you to or not. I don't know. You got to weigh the risk with the benefits. You know, and there was a time where I felt like kind of addicted to the meds, the pain meds and stuff, because I felt like I felt somewhat normal. Not like I'm, oh, I need to fix. It's like, hey, when I take this, I feel like I could do what I should be able to do normally, like an average person. You know, I just, the hard thing for me, and I'm sure a lot of people out there deal with this, is when I work with people that, like, they're 19 years old, I'm so tired, I'm this, I'm like, but I should be going more than I should be doing more than I can, and I'm 42, going on 43 tomorrow. And it's rough. I mean, that's why I started this support group, so that people can laugh and cry and be there with others. And I mean, I am the founder of the support group, and it's the Myopathy Support Group on Facebook. It is a closed group. So if you want to get involved, if you go to the Myopathy Support Group and you ask to join, I would accept you, and we go from there. And know that the people that are there understand what you're going through. Know what you deal with. And hey, has anyone had this test done? How was it done? What did you have done? Because we got into a conversation one time, because I'm like, when I had my muscle biopsy, they couldn't, oh, we can't numb anything because it's going to alter the test results. And I was having, I was flipping out in the car on the way home, because I was just like, I would be half asleep and I'd wake up thinking like I was getting snapped again, like they were going to cut me again. And I'm just like, I was having nightmares because I hated it. And I'm like, hopefully they got enough to where they can test it many times. And I hope the next time, if they do test it, there's pretty good definitive stuff to find out what's wrong. You know? That we don't ever have to go through that again, because that stinks so bad. That hurts so bad. Because when they strap you down, you know something's not right. And I don't wish that on my worst enemy. But, you know, it's like I try to get, because you hear all this stuff about the Susan G. Komen Foundation and all these things and, you know, and all this stuff. But it's like, okay, here's the MDA telephone once a year where you hear about muscular dystrophies and myopathies and all that stuff. And because my doctor that I see, my regular physician, he's like, so you're basically, so do you have a muscular dystrophy? So we're lumped in that category from what I've always been told. And we're basically very similar to that. But a lot of the muscular dystrophies, it is the muscle, their muscle is deteriorating, so they're not even having an issue. You know, my one pain doctor I saw in the beginning was someone that was in that thought I might have lactic acidosis, where your body builds up too much lactic acid, but then I wasn't getting sick every day. So that was I have something similar to that, because that's how it kind of feels. Because when I went, I have a good friend that lives in Paris, and when I was there for the 2007 Rugby World Cups, which was incredible, First day before I took the trolleys, I walked around, and by the time I got home, I couldn't even sit down. It hurt so much to stand up, and if I sat down, my legs were burning. My legs were, like, hot. My legs were burning hot, and that was before I was diagnosed, of course, you know. That was when I was starting to get diagnosed and trying to figure out what was going on, and but, you know, they usually do like a blood test or a muscle biopsy or an electromyogram to find out what's wrong with them, to figure it out. You know, usually a lot of people like me, you have to go through all kinds of stuff and all kinds of tests and all kinds of things before they figure out. But one thing, the one pain doctor I saw said, he goes, if they could cure me, they could probably cure anything. Because he goes, for me, it'd be like a gene splicing. Where it'd be, okay, you take this gene out and you put this gene in and bang. You know, and that's what they would pretty much have to do for a lot of us to cure us. But then if that's the case, you know, all they have to do is change this gene for this gene and boom, no more Down syndrome. No more special needs kids. Because all I have to do is just adjust that gene in them and take out that chromosome that's extra or add that one that's not there. And, you know, and there are some people that believe that, hey, under the table, they have some of that technology to where they could sit there. And in some cases, just add this gene, bang. And there you go. But then that'd be a curing. But then why would they want to do that? Because look at all these medications that they would not, you would not need. You know, there's no profit in fixing a disease. You know, hey, why would they want to cure acid reflux? No, they want to make you take a pill every day. I'm not saying that there's a cure for everything, but, you know, hey, if they could cure STDs 100%, then what's the need of a condom? Most people, that's the their only concern is STD, not pregnancy, unfortunately. But then it would go back to the 60s when people just had free-for-all. It's just one of those things that as we got about 20 minutes left in this little talk here, if you are tired, if you do have fatigue, if your muscles hurt, if you have trouble doing stuff, you know, go to your doctor and ask, hey, I want to have this looked at. I want to, you know, because you should be at 30, still going pretty strong. You shouldn't be, I mean, you're probably not going to be like my dad, but you shouldn't be, you know, you shouldn't be 19 years old. But then sometimes I think some of that's just lazy because I try to keep going and doing as much as I can. And I know I'm in pain and it stinks, but I just try to keep going and doing. And so I want to thank you all so much for tuning in to this little myopathy talk that we have. And, you know, there's tons of information through the Cleveland Clinic, through Mayo Clinic, on different things, ways to find out, you know, some symptoms and what, because the biggest thing I noticed through the support group and what I've noticed is a lot of people, you'll just get diagnosed with the generic metabolic myopathy or just a myopathy in general, and they can't really pinpoint it down yet. And they say, well, just try this in general, try that in general, and see if that works, and see if this works, and see if that helps. And, you know, when you're like a lot of us, we're desperate, we try everything. Okay, let me take pineapple and cayenne and this and that, and that's, let's try that for pain relief, and let's try this, and let's try that, and see what works and what doesn't work, and let me try this ointment and this and all that. So, and you get kind of in that rut of, okay, trying everything and anything just to see if you can get some sort of relief. You know, because it just stinks when it's like, you sit there and you're like, okay, guess what, folks? Today's my birthday, and I don't want to get out of bed. It's like, tomorrow, me and my wife, I'm going to the Better Being Float Center in Carmel. If you've ever seen, they have these pods, and they're great where they have like 900 pounds of Epsom salt in there, and you float on top of the water. It's amazing. And if you don't know, they microfiltrate it. They have UV filtration. And the Epsom salt, they're so great that nothing can survive. Yeah, my wife wants it like a hot tub. But that's not the point. The point is they can increase the temperature by like 2 degrees or 3 degrees. But the point is when I'm in it, I'm not hot. I'm not cold. It's the exact part. It's perfect. But my wife loves very, very hot water. And so, yeah. So my wife's getting a massage to help her. She has fibromyalgia. It's one of those things that it's a great way to de-stress and let the muscles go. And they had like $110 for 3 floats. I'm like, sold. And, you know, it's expensive, so I can't do it a lot, but it does help my muscles. So, okay, no, I want to spread them out because I would have to schedule 3 at once, and I don't think they'd allow that. I always wondered if you had one of those, if you could sleep in it, because they give you the things for your ears. That's one thing I would love to get is some custom earplugs, and I can sit there and just put those in and float and be like, ah. But it's great. It's worth it. If you can afford it, it's worth it. It really helps relax your muscles. And it's based off of, if you ever heard of the Bering Sea, not the Bering Sea, but the Dead Sea. Yeah. Where it has a lot of salt. This, what it does is the Dead Sea basically has lots of salt, and this has like way more salt than that, and you float and you're buoyant, and it's just a great way to relax. And some people say, I don't know if I can do it for 90 minutes. I'm like, I didn't want to get out when the jet came back on. My wife, it was just not warm enough for her. So, I mean, that's the only thing, but then it shouldn't be hot. It should be so that when you're in there, I couldn't tell if it was hot or cold. I could close my eyes and I couldn't tell where I was. So, and they have like an open one and they have like the pods. I've never done the open. That's for people that are claustrophobic, but the pod, I loved it. The only thing I got to remember is they leave a light on for like 5 minutes and then it shuts off. And I forgot that. And I had the other light on. So I want to turn that off so it's pitch black in there, except for the light that's in the pod. But it's a good experience, so you should try it. And I don't think it's a fad. I think it's going to be around for a while. So, and one thing I want to get into to anyone that's out there, and I don't get paid to do this. I don't. But if you have foot, leg, or back pain or any type of issue, I wear Z-Coil pain relief footwear. They're out of New Mexico. They are amazing. They were designed in 95 by a guy who has foot, leg, and back issues and wanted to do, he liked trail running and, you know, going through the mountains and doing all kinds of stuff. And he wanted to find a way to absorb the pain and absorb the shock. And he basically, developed these shoes that have a convex coil on the bottom. And the base of the shoe is a orthotic that they can mold to the shape of your foot, and then they can adjust the coil. So if you overpronate or oversupinate, which is walk to the insides or walk to the outsides, they can correct gait issues. When I was seeing my muscular dystrophy doctor, Kincaid was like, so what the heck are these on your feet? Oh, they're Z-Coil pain relief footwear. And he goes, well, don't stop wearing them. I said, what do you mean? He goes, they're helping you walk better. Your gait is improving. It's helping you a lot. Keep wearing them. And, you know, I did a video on their Facebook page, Z-Coil, where I showed about 80% of my shoes because I love them and I wear them only. And they helped me out a bunch. So I spread the word. And 5 days later, I get stuff sent to my mom's house a lot because she's the tire so she can pick up the packages and not have to worry about them being left around. You know, she goes, Zeke Coyle has something at the house. I'm like, okay. And I got like a hat and shirt and I got some of their socks and they gave me a coffee tumbler and you know, they're just a great company all around and they really do work. So if you're interested, check out ZeekeCoyle.com. Just let them know I don't get paid for this. I just want them to be around for a long time because they're just amazing. So, they're just great. And I just try to, in general, spread the word about awareness of myopathy so that people know, so that when they see someone in a disability placard and you don't look like there's anything wrong with you, well, if you get a chance, go online, and you may have seen this, go online, there's a Cleveland Clinic video that if you could see what everyone's going through, how would your life be different? And, you know, he's worked a 13-hour shift, just about ready to go home. He hasn't had a vacation in 2 years, and he's finally about to take one. She's about to be a mom, and she just found out she miscarried and lost her baby, and that goes to all these different things. And how would you treat people differently if you knew how they were on the inside, you know? And I try to spread the word because, you know, I mean, that's how I feel. If we knew who we were on the inside more than we were on the outside, you know, we would actually we'd treat people so differently if we saw them for what's really going on in their life and what they are now. And that's what I try to do. I try to spread awareness and let people know, hey, I want to be like everyone else. I just can't. And, you know, and that's the big thing. What do I, you know, they used to ask Dale Sr., who's a NASCAR driver, what would you do if you couldn't drive in NASCAR anymore? Because I'd be a race car driver. He couldn't answer. I don't know what I'd do if I couldn't cook. You know, I do my conversation. Unless that ever took off, I might do that, but I don't know. It's getting harder and harder to do what I do every day and be on my feet. But it's one of those things like where, you know, when I took a week off for my birthday. I had a bunch of paid time off saved up, and that's why I'm doing this today. And it's just like, it's hard to like, okay, like today I didn't want to get out of bed, but I know I got this conversation I had to do, so I'm sucking it up, and that's what I do, and it's how we live. We, you know, you don't know how strong you are until being strong is the only thing you got, you know? The myopathy support group, on the top of it, it says, we don't know how strong we are until being strong is the only choice we have, muscular dystrophy awareness, and I put that up there, and I live by that motto. I want to thank you all so much for tuning in, and I apologize for that connection glitch where for like a minute I was disconnected, but we're back, and we got through 90% of the show. There's no problems except for that, and that sometimes happens, and that's how technology goes. But, you know, I hope there's some people that listen to this that don't have, or maybe they're a parent and they're son is 19 or 18 or 16 that deals with this, and you can understand a little bit more about what he goes through from somebody that lives it and deals with it and has to cope with it on a daily basis. You know, it's easy to say, oh, you're just lazy. It's easy to judge when you can't see what's actually going on, you know. If you actually knew what was going on with people, your life would be different. You would see things in a whole different light. So that's why I try not to judge people, you know, until I see the true light and see who they really are. And say, okay, well, this guy is 19 years old. He just seems to not want to do anything. So, but I try to give people the benefit of the doubt and say, hey, this is, you know, maybe he has something. But when you find a lot of people like that, because I mean, I know people that I've worked with people that are 18, 19 that you shouldn't be that way at 50. You shouldn't be as tired and like they are, and they're, you know, so. And I just try to be there for anyone and everybody and just try to help and spread awareness and say, hey, you're not alone. Don't worry. You know, welcome to the support group. We're no experts. And we're just here to lend it, just to be a place where you can vent and laugh and cry and be around people that know what's going on and understand you. And I'm no expert. I'm still doing research and looking up and trying to figure out what's going on. It's one of those things. I want to thank you so much, as always, for tuning in. And, you know, from 9 to 10 on Tuesday and Thursdays, I do a conversation. You know, so, and I mention ZQL once in a while, and I mention the support group and stuff. So, you know, and since it's been a while since I've done one of these, you know, because the audio, I have better audio, I have a better mic and different things. I thought, what the heck, I'll do this, and except for that little tiny glitch I had where I got disconnected because of the technology. You know, and I do want to give a shout out, and I want you all to keep the people in Florida in your prayers after the school shooting that happened yesterday. It took the lives of 17 people. You know, I don't understand it, and all the people in Florida in your prayers, because they really need it. So, I hope you've enjoyed this little like myopathy talk I've done, and just for the people out there to know that, hey, it's a support group that's run by someone that knows what you're going through and deals with, and I'm always looking at things I can do and what can I try, and, you know, my doctors, because I'm so fatigued, there's a Novogil and the Provogil, I guess they're made for people that have narcolepsy, and I think my doctor wants me to, because I had a sleep study done recently and I came back negative, so they might want to try me on that, but I guess it's very highly controlled. So I don't know if I even want to go through all the hoops and whatever just to get something, you know, because I guess it's more control. It's very controlled, and I don't know. We just have to wait and see what I do or whatever, but it's how I deal and what I come up with and different things. And so we'll have to see if I, because I found out, and this is something you should know, because that in Novogil and Provogil or whatever, they're the exact same medication. All they did was they turned the, my muscle doctor told me that they turned the molecule 180 degrees and were able to get a whole new patent. So just make sure if you get it, you get the older stuff, because older stuff is a generic. Older stuff can be generic. The newer stuff can't be, because it's new, but it's no different. It's the exact same medication. Sure. But I don't know if I want to try something else. I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of at that stage where a lot of people are, where you're like, okay, do I try something else? What do? I've tried all this stuff. You know, and then I've heard some people say that, oh, yeah, if you take that, then you have to get something because now you can't. Or this helps you with the fatigue. But then I need something to go to sleep, and then I don't want to have to take one, and then this is fixed. But then if it helps with my fatigue, is it going to help with my severe pain at all? Am I going to be like, is my fatigue going to go away, but I'm just going to be like, why don't, I'm going to be like, okay, I'm like, I'm going to go 100 miles an hour, but I'm in so much pain and everything, so it's kind of like, I don't know. So I'm before I say, yeah, let me go see a specialist to see about getting on that, how do I get it, you know, I'm trying to do my research on it to find out the pros and cons of it, and is it something that's beneficial to me, because that's one thing you'll find, like my regular doctor, my muscle doctor, that's what he does, muscular dystrophies and all this stuff, where my regular doctor, he kind of looks at everything, and he's like, well, why don't you try this? This could work for that or that. You know, and he gives me options and things to try. And, you know, and he has the native, he has a Asian in him, so I just kind of like, well, how do I do the yin and yang thing? Do I have like a problem with my yin and yang? Can I put the needles in me and just, you know, get my chi in my, you know, this one time? He goes, nah, it's not really, no. But I just wonder, because I know some people that believe in all that, that, you know, you have like two things in your body, and they're, if you're having problems, they're not aligned, and if you align them, so who knows. But I just try to get awareness out there so that people know, hey, this, we deal with this stuff daily. It's not, okay, here's the one Labor Day telethon where we, you know, we need to have more awareness and do stuff more often. And know that this is out there. And let people know that this stuff does exist. You know? And that's why I'm kind of glad I started this support group that originally was just me needing help. And it's nice to see that there's so many people that have a place to go where they can laugh and cry and vent and ask questions. And, hey, this is what I've had done. That's what I've had done. And I never would have thought that something that started out to be something I needed would help a lot of people. So, got about 60 seconds left. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. Apologize for that short little glitch, but, you know, that's how technology goes. You know, I get that sometimes when I do my regular weekly conversation with, like, Blog Talk itself has had some glitches and issues, and yeah, the direct connect didn't work, and then the call-in number was having issues. So, you know, that's why I love technology, too. It's supposed to make our lives easier, and sometimes that's not always the case, you know. So I wish you all well. I hope you all are doing well and great. And if you're new to Myopathies, feel free to join the Myopathy support group on Facebook. I am Kyle. I am the founder. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. Good night, everyone. Hope you have a blessed rest of your day, and goodbye.